I wanted to talk about God's design for the family and how God wants the family. I know probably in terms of our audience, most of y'all already have grown children, right? Your kids are already grown up and all of that. So some of this might help your grandchildren. It might help you as you talk to your children about their families. But what I want to do is draw some pictures of the family in this lesson that we're going to present. Now, I feel like the family is under a state of siege today, coming at it from all different kinds of places. There's modern philosophies and the homosexual community. They're all trying to change our understanding of what the family is. And I think that that's really sad that we have those threats. But the family, as the Bible teaches, is still the basic unit in society and in all the nations that we have. And I find that very interesting that the family in some form we find in every nation there is. But now, I do want to emphasize this. It's designed to fulfill all kinds of purposes, but the family's main purpose is to grow people, to make them good citizens, to make them children of God in the Christian family, and that's what the family is designed to do, and that's what we need to be working on. Now, I would emphasize this also. There are different forms of the family today. What do we normally think of when we think of a family?
Mom, dad, and children.
That's right. Yeah. This one right here. That's what we normally think of. And that is the Bible concept. But there are other forms of the family that actually fulfill the function of a family. And one of those is one that I was raised in, the single parent family. My dad died when I was 3 years old. My mom chose not to remarry. And she raised 5 kids by herself in the 50s and 60s. You know, that'd be tough. But that's what she did. She chose not to remarry. She wanted to maintain the memory of my dad. And I think that's a wonderful thing. She was very successful at raising her kids doing a living and started the kindergarten program, things of that nature, you know. But she was very good at doing that. And I think that she was able to help us be good people, to grow people, you know, to grow us in a spiritual fashion and to make us spiritual people as well as good citizens in the community. I also think that there are other types of families. A lot of times the single parent family is one that's maybe divorced. In our day and age, there are single parents that have never been married. You know, it's just the mother raising the child. We have a lot of those. But they can succeed also if they fulfill the purpose of the family. The other one that I have up here is the blended family. And what we're talking about that is divorced people that remarry, and they have yours, mine, and our kids. It's all blended together. Families like that, and the single parent family that is divorced or never married, they have their own special problems. They have a lot of challenges that they have to face, but they can be successful if they will meet up to the purpose of the family. Here's the next point that I would emphasize. The families that make them successful is they are meeting up to this definition right here, that they are fulfilling, the accomplishing the things that God wants a family to be, and that's produce a stable environment in which to grow people. Now, as a result of that definition, their times when even a family that has a father and a mother in it that are unsuccessful because they don't fulfill that purpose. And so even if you have the family and it's in that design that God would have it, you know, the mother, the father, the children, it can be unsuccessful if it doesn't fulfill the purpose of a family. And that's the reason that we need to be talking about this. We need to be talking to all the families about what God wants them to do. And I think this is a very important subject. I'm glad that y'all are considering the family and what Scripture is saying about the family. Here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to draw some pictures of the family. And this is based in Scripture, but it's also based in psychology. And it's going to help us to understand what a family is supposed to do. Okay? Here's the first one that I would emphasize, and we've already mentioned it, that it's a place to grow people. It's a balanced environment. Now, I think nature teaches us. I like to watch the National Geographic channels, and they're always talking about the animal kingdom and the animals and the plants and different things and how everything is in balance with each other. What happens if you upset the balance? Then things go wrong. Some people starve to death, or some animals starve to death, or it's a drought, it's a famine, it becomes a desert. You know, all kinds of things happen. Sometimes men create that problem. Most of the time it's just nature itself. And I think that's the same thing that's true with people. We need to maintain the balance. Now, in Scripture, in Luke chapter 2, verse 51, it talks about Jesus. And it says that he advanced in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. That's a balanced development. Here was a man that Jesus, he grew in his wisdom. And he grew in his understanding. And he became someone that was socially active as well as spiritually active. He was in favor with God and man. And so he developed in all of those areas. And I think that's what we want for our children. We want our children to develop just exactly like that. Would y'all agree with that particular thought? You know, back when Judy was able, she has dementia now and she's not able to do any counseling. But when she counseled, she had her license and all to do counseling. And my degree is in ministry and with an emphasis in counseling. But I never got my license. She did. But anyway, that's here and there. I get to chase a rabbit here. Back when we were counseling, we would talk to families that would have all kinds of problems. And it boiled down to this. The problems were stemming from the husband and the wife and this family relationship. They weren't fulfilling the roles that God intended for them to fulfill. And as a result, the family was out of balance. And that was what was creating the problems. You know, maybe the father, you know, he's supposed to be a servant leader. He's supposed to love his family. He's supposed to support his family. He's supposed to be someone that, you know, teaches and trains his family, you know, and provides for them. But what happens if he spends all of his time providing and neglects these other areas? What happens? Well, he's not fulfilling his role. And he gets all whacked up. The children rebel, the wife rebels, maybe she has an affair or something of that nature. And it's simply because he's not doing what he's supposed to do spiritually. He's got all the balance out of whack. Now the same thing is true with the wife. You know, she is the emotion giver, supporter in the family. She loves and teaches and does all of these things. Well, what if she stops doing that? What happens? Same thing. It gets all out of whack. I turned it off, I'm sorry. That is the picture that is the most important center for the development of creativity. See, the family is where self-trust and self-esteem are developed. And that is what creates creativity within the family. Also, the family is where self-discipline is learned, which is part of creativity as well. The family provides the fertile ground for people to develop their gifts and their talents and their abilities. And that's what the family is all about, to encourage that, motivate that. Back a few years ago, I met a man that was a gifted musician. And I found it interesting. You'd probably find it the same way. But his family, his wife and his children, had all learned to play an instrument. And they had formed a family band or orchestra to make music. And it was very beautiful. This was his talent, and his children and his wife had that same talent, and so that's what he developed. Now, maybe you're into hunting or some other activity. To me, I find it interesting how that the family develops around some of those activities. That's creativity. I know around our house, when our kids were growing up, we always tried to help the girls solve problems, and we tried to emphasize Philippians 4:13. Y'all know what that says? 4:13? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What we were trying to do was give them a positive idea about themselves. So whenever they ran upon problems or in personal relationships or in school, they would come home, they might say something like, "Well, Dad, I just don't think I can do this." And we would make a statement like, "Well, you know, don't you remember what Philippians 4:13 says?" And they would laugh about it and say, "Oh, yeah, I forgot. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." What were we trying to do with that? We were trying to plant in their minds that they could do, that they could accomplish, that they would have a positive attitude about life and the things that were going on. And as a result of that, they did accomplish. I remember a few years ago when my youngest daughter was at Delta State, and she was in pre-vet, and she was running upon some classes that were really tough, and she was having a little difficulty in those classes, and she came to me and she was talking to me and she said, "Dad, you know, I've thought all my life that I could do anything that I set my mind to." I thought to myself, well, hey, it worked. She's a chemist now, you know, and a biology person, you know, so she works in the places that have labs and things of that nature. You know, she didn't make the vet, but she did make a chemist out of herself. But anyway, she accomplished. She believed that she could accomplish. I think that's a success in raising your children, for them to have a self-trust in themselves, you know, and know that they can accomplish things in their life. Now, here's another picture that we want to give to you. That is, the family is the shelter from the storms of life, a place when the whole family can come and feel safe and secure in this life. Not long ago, Psychology Today published a report. Do you know what the number, they listed 18 values. Do you know what the number one value was? And they talked about self-respect, happiness, and true friendship. All of those things were listed in there. What was the number one value, do you think? It'll surprise you. The number one value was family security. People want to feel secure in their families, in their homes, where they are. You know, I think that everyone faces storms in their lives. And there are problems that arise and difficulties that come. And even the adults want to feel like that the family is the place that they can come to and feel accepted and that they'll be helped by the people that are there. And that's what a family is about. No matter what the storm is, no matter what the problem is, that we're going to help each other and support each other, because that's what family is about. But sometimes our decisions have an adverse effect upon our children and our families. So we need to be looking to that. This is a real important area in the family relation. And then here's one other. Family as a transmitter of values from one generation to the next generation. I always like the example of Paul when he talks to Timothy, 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5. Y'all remember that passage of scripture? Paul is talking to Timothy and he says, you know, I see that you have a great faith. He was one of Paul's student preachers, one of the young men that worked with him from time to time. And he says, I see you have a great faith, but I know where you got it. It was in your mother and in your grandmother before you. They were transmitting those values of faith. And that's where Timothy had his faith from. One of the values that we need to be transmitting is our faith in God. That we believe in God and why we believe in God. And what it means to be a Christian, living the Christian life, and how to pray, and how to study, and how to be a good person. I think another thing that we need to be transmitting is that people are more important than things. We need to have that value in the family, that people are more important than things. And the opportunities to show that and teach that abound in the family. You know, that people are more important than things. And I believe that our children learn this and real growth occurs when they see this in their parents, when they see this practiced within the family. If you don't value people, if you don't show respect, if you don't treat people right, if you don't live the Christian values, if you don't do these things yourself, then your children are not going to do them because they see that in you. And they're going to do just exactly what you do. Whether you tell them, don't do like I'm doing, I want you to do something different. It doesn't make any difference whether you say that or not. They're going to do what you do. And we need to be people that live our Christianity and show it.